And welcome back to Prospering in America on the Voice of Reason, WHLD News Talk 1270. On Tuesday, voters not only chose a new Congress, but had the opportunity to vote on minimum wage ballot initiatives. In all six states, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, Arizona, Ohio, and Colorado, voters said yes to a minimum wage hike. Joining us to talk about this support for the minimum wage is the Reverend Paul Sherry, National Coordinator of Let Justice Roll and co-author of A Just Minimum Wage.
Across the nation, every place, the minimum wage ballot referendums won.
Yes, we're exhilarated about that, as you can imagine.
Now, why do you think it happened this way, after almost 10 years now with no federal increase?
Right. Well, you know, momentum has been building in the states. We had earlier victories in states such as Michigan, North Carolina, Arkansas, and West Virginia. And then, of course, the six major victories during the last 2 days. And I think a major reason for it is that people from all points on the spectrum, liberal, conservative, and in between, have begun to see how absolutely unjust the current minimum wage is. And we at Let Justice Roll, I think, began to focus this issue as a values issue, and as a way by which people of faith, for example, could articulate and then demonstrate their faith by voting for the minimum wage. And I think that caught on, and people began to see that if indeed there were to be a responsible nation, we can do no other than to raise this minimum wage from $5.15 an hour to something modest, though it is, something a lot better.
Now, you mentioned a couple of things that I want to pick up on. You said we. Who's we?
Well, the Let Justice Roll Living Wage campaign is a campaign that's organized to raise the minimum wage at the federal level and in the states. We are now a coalition of some 80-plus faith-based and community-based organizations. We're nonpartisan. We work with all people. And as I said, our focus is to raise this minimum wage from $5.15 an hour to something far more decent. We believe that a job should keep you out of poverty, not keep you in it.
Is that in part what you mean when you talk about values that people can express?
Right. You know, over the last several years, values issues have tended to be defined as abortion, gay rights, issues that tend to divide. We think the minimum wage is a values issue that unites across all lines so that all people, working families, can have sufficient resources to live with some level of decency.
Now, you mentioned, of course, most people right now, when they think of religion and politics, think the more conservative fundamentalist religion. But there's a long history and tradition in our country of the sort of faith-based actions that you're taking, almost social justice actions.
Oh, yes. And of course, you know, that particular theme of social justice, economic justice, is rooted deeply in Scripture. I've said often that if one were to take out of both the Old Testament and the New Testament all the passages that relate to economic justice, you would have a shredded document. So that, and as you rightly have said, this tradition, this progressive faith-based tradition, is long-standing, and the minimum wage issue is one specific way by which that religious tradition can be given expression.
Now, your coalition, and I think one of the things that's very interesting about it is there are so many business people who would traditionally think we're opposed to an increase in the minimum wage, who are with you on this issue and very
vocal
in their support.
Yes, thank you for raising that. That's exactly right. Yes, we have a large number of business people, small business, large business, across this country, who have signed on with us in support of the minimum wage because they recognize both the fairness of the issue and the fact paying workers a decent wage makes for good business. Study after study has shown that those states that have raised their minimum wage, their economies tend to be better than those that have not, and the impact on business has been positive rather than negative. And our business, the business people that are with us, recognize that. So they're with us both on moral grounds and on business grounds as well.
Now, that's very interesting. You mentioned that states that have increased their minimum wage, the economy does well. That is the complete reversal of what we hear in traditional economic theory.
That's exactly right. I don't know if you heard just not long ago, a large number of economists, including some Nobel Prize economists, came out for raising the minimum wage because they saw it, again, both as ethically right and economically sound.
And business folks, it levels the playing field.
It does. That's exactly right.
So that they can pay their workers what they feel is a fair and just wage, knowing that they're not going to put themselves out of business.
That's right. And you know, it's very interesting. If you pay workers a decent wage, one, you have much better worker morale. You have much better worker productivity. You have far less turnover. Because people stay on the job for longer periods of time. So you don't have the heavy expenses of recruiting and training a new workforce. So there's so many factors that indeed reinforce the point that I've just been making.
Now, who else are important parts of the coalition of Let Justice Rule?
Well, for example, the National Council of Churches is a lead organization. The Unitarian Universalist Service Committee is a lead organization. The United Church of Christ Justice and Witness Ministries is a lead organization. American Friends Service Committee, some Jewish bodies, Muslim bodies, a whole range of organizations that come together for one particular, very specific reason, as I said, to raise the minimum wage.
Now, you say the organization is a nonpartisan organization.
It's nonpartisan. That's exactly right.
Members of your organization have to be fairly optimistic given what happened on Tuesday, particularly at the federal level.
Yes, we believe that we now have a better chance to get a sound, decent minimum wage piece of legislation through the Congress in the immediate months ahead. Time will tell, of course, and we're going to work very hard at that. But we are hopeful that indeed we can indeed get some federal legislation. As you said earlier, we have not seen the federal wage raised since 1997, which is a travesty.
Are there other economic issues of social justice that the organization is looking
Well, at the moment, our primary focus is, as I said, living wage legislation. However, our broader purpose is working to eliminate poverty in this country, so that we could well move, for example, into another critical issue in the months and months ahead, which is health care. As you know, so many people in this country, men, women, children, lack decent health care, and we know that if we're to eliminate poverty in this country, health care, decent health care, has to be very high on that list.
Now, how do you think it changes our political dialogue, our political understanding that people of faith are working on these social justice issues?
Well, I think it provides a rich, I think, impetus for a new look, a renewed look, a more sharply defined look at who we want to be as a country. And faith-based people, I think, can bring to that dialogue insights taken from our faith as to how, indeed, decent society should be shaped. Not that faith-based people have insights that others do not have, but I think sitting about a table, being part of that dialogue, bringing the insights of the faith, can indeed, I think, help shape the possibility of a more responsible and compassionate nation. And we intend to obviously move in that direction.
And it seems to me it restores an older and grander tradition for religion in this country.
You know, it's true. What's happened, I think, so often in recent years is that people have seen religion as related, yes, to individuals, as of course it is, individual regeneration, but have tended to lose the social transformation dimension. We believe that faith should be involved both in individual, personal regeneration, and social transformation. And when you bring those two elements together, I think people of faith can be a very positive force in the well-being of this great country.
Thanks, Paul. That was Paul Sherry, National Coordinator of Let Justice Roll and co-author of A Just Minimum Wage. For more information, check out letjusticeroll.org. That's letjusticeroll.org. And here's Melissa Miller with this week's Labor Milestone on the Women's Trade Union League. Melissa?
Over a century ago, on November 14, 1903, Mary O'Sullivan opened the first meeting of the Women's Trade Union League, or WTUL. The WTUL tried to convince unions and the American Federation of Labor to accept women as members and to treat working women as equals in the workforce. And that was a long, hard fight. While the number of women in the workforce grew, unions generally refused to recognize that reality. Many unions barred women from membership. Others accepted women, on paper at least, and then only held meetings in the back rooms of bars, effectively excluding women from attending. After all, in the early 20th century, it was a commonly held belief that only women of ill repute entered bars. Although the American Federation of Labor endorsed the WTUL, the AFL did nothing about the rampant sexism within its ranks. AFL leaders like Samuel Gompers regarded the WTUL as window dressing. Ineffective within the labor movement, the WTUL turned to political reform to protect women workers. The league was an important part of the successful fight to win the right of women to vote. The WTUL also helped win legislation that protected women workers, won limits on hours and on-the-job protections for women workers. The AFL supported these efforts by the WTUL, believing that restrictions on work by women would protect so-called men's jobs. When the WTUL fought for the 8-hour day and a living wage for all workers, it met AFL opposition. The AFL believed that only unions could win those benefits for men. Despite this lukewarm support, even opposition from its supposed allies, the WTUL won important reforms for working women. And by fighting for women's right to vote, the WTUL contributed to an important victory for democracy. With this week's Labor Milestone, I'm Melissa Miller.
Thanks, Melissa. Melissa Miller will be back next week with another Labor Milestone, and Tom Hopkins and I will be right back.